Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this is a really big day for Americans and our country because this is Super Bowl Sunday. And just to let you know how big it is for our country and our people, consider these statistics from last year's Super Bowl. The city in which the Super Bowl was held made $400 million in profit off the game. If you wanted to go to the game, your seat, the least cost would be $2,900. If you wanted the 50-yard line, that was $23,203.50. Do you know I was a hair's breadth from getting that, but I felt 50 cents was a little outrageous extra. $325 million were wagered on the game. $5.25 million it would cost you for a 30-second ad, $175,000 for a second for each advertisement. 44 million Americans host a Super Bowl party. 24% of Americans go to a Super Bowl party. $14.8 billion are spent on Super Bowl parties. And if you go there, I'll warn you that the average American eats 6,000 calories during the game. 1.38 billion chicken wings are eaten, consumed. 12.5 million pizzas. 1.3 billion beers. Lutherans, right? And 88 million pounds of cheese. Now, just imagine if the Packers were in the Super Bowl. That would be doubled. 100 million people, 100 million people are expected to view this game. So it is a huge game for our country, for our culture, for our people, and it is called Super. But what I'd like to do with you now is talk about how much more super and superior are you and the church, what we're doing here this morning versus what we're going to be watching tonight. Because Paul, in the book of Corinthians, spoke to the Corinthian church, and he took the athletic games, which were held every 2 years in Corinth, sort of like our Olympic games, and he related those to the church in order to teach them about the Christian life. And so I'd like to do the same today with the Super Bowl, and I would like to relate it to you about how much greater you are as the church than what we are experiencing and watching tonight. How far superior are you to the Super Bowl? Well, first of all, let's consider tonight, there you go to see the champions of the earth, to put on display their athletic prowess. And if you want to prove that this is a big deal, earlier this week I was walking out and Vivian was gardening right outside here between the two buildings, and Cheryl was walking by to her car on the sidewalk, and Vivian says, "Well, do you mind if I ask, are you going to watch the game?" And Cheryl's like, "Yes, of course." "Do you mind if I ask who you're going for?" She says, "The 49ers." And Vivian snaps, "Traitor!" And Cheryl apologetically says, "Well, my beloved Patriots, my beloved Patriots are not in it this year, but I hear that the 49ers quarterback was trained by Tom Brady, so I'm going for the 49ers. To which Vivian very kindly said, "Well, I'll love you anyway." We go to see the champions of the earth tonight on the game, but what I see before me right here are the champions of heaven. That's the church. Let's take a look and see what God speaks about you, how far superior. Ephesians chapter 4. God says this through the Apostle Paul. Verse 4, he says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all." So we're not looking at two teams right here. We're looking at one team under one captain. That's Jesus Christ. Do you know how far superior you are to the champions of the earth? You, God says, are champions of heaven who are living on the earth with a mission, but you are from and of heaven with Christ at the head. If you think about it, tonight we're going to watch two teams go onto the field of battle, if you will, and battle it out for a while. But as for us, the Bible says, though we live in the world, we're not carrying on a worldly war. For the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We're destroying evil, lies, the devil's work. That's the mission and the battle of the church. If you look at the men tonight, they are girded with armor of rubber and fiberglass helmets, or whatever they're made of. But as for you, far greater. Your armor, God says, is the armor of light. You have about your midsection truth, besides having a breastplate upon yourself called righteousness, and having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. Besides all these, taking the shield of faith with which you can quench all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation. Put that upon your head, not a helmet of fiberglass, but of God's saving works to you in Jesus Christ. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, by which you can slay and destroy every evil force that comes against you. And put upon yourselves also all prayer. You are the champions of heaven. You are far superior. Think about how God would look at the Super Bowl if he were watching the Super Bowl with us tonight. I'm sure he will, because he sees everything. But we read this in Psalm 147. It says, God's delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes delight in those who fear him, and those who hope in his steadfast love. So if you compare yourselves to the Super Bowl, which our world loves, you are far greater. God really doesn't care. I mean, he cares to a certain degree, but he cares altogether about those who fear him. That's his delight. That's his pleasure. That's the church. You are the heroes of heaven. Tonight, it's the heroes and champions of earth. But I'm looking at the heroes and champions of heaven. That's you. You're going to lay hold of that. For the Bible says, in all these things, God has made us more than conquerors through him who loved us. That is, through Jesus Christ. That is who the church is. So far superior are you. Secondly, when we consider the champions that you're going to see tonight, consider how they got onto their teams. How did these super athletes get onto their various teams and into the Super Bowl? By their works, by their merits, by their own athletic prowess and abilities, by their own might and strength. They trained hard, they worked hard, they got drafted because of who they were, because of how good they were, and they keep their jobs only by how good they continue to perform. So they're into their teams and onto their teams by their works, and they stay in by how well they perform. Not so with you, for you are a people saved by grace. Not because of your goodness, but because of God's goodness. He has called you out of the evil mass of humanity to be his own people, and then sets you on the team by grace to do good and to be good by his work. Look at this verse. This is 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2 to 3. Paul's talking to the church in Corinth. He says, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. So what do we learn about the church here? He's talking about the church, that's God's people, and he says here that they are called to be saints. If you look at the word for church in the Greek here, ekklesia, ek means out, klesia means called. I'm looking at a people, you, we are a people that God has called out of the world to be his own, a different people, a strange people on the earth, because you are citizens of heaven above, born from there. You have a passport, and you are now on earth, but strangers here, citizens there. Jesus says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you, that you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. That's grace. He called you. He called me. We were not great in abilities. We had no athletic prowess. We were not marvelous. And God said, oh, I must have these people because they're so wonderful. No. He looks and he sees there's nothing good in them of themselves, but in my own good pleasure, because I love them, I will call them out and put into them goodness, give them athletic prowess on the field of spiritual battle. I will gird them with the armor of light. I will be their God. They shall be my people, and they shall conquer through me who lives inside of them. You are so far superior to what we're going to see tonight. That's just men. That's just earth. That's just flesh. But you are of the Spirit, and you are called to be God's own. And on this team, we are all equal because we're all saved by grace. Who do we boast in, Michael? We boast in Christ. God has leveled the playing field. You know, if you look at the people tonight, some of them are really boasting in themselves. Look at how great I am. I'll do my dance in the end zone or whatever. And they'll speak of themselves. But as for us as Christians who are in the church, who are saved by grace and grace alone, our boast is only and always in Jesus Christ, our great captain, our owner, our quarterback who is on our team, all these things. Our boast is in him. For Peter says, you're a chosen race. We are. You are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are God's own people in the world, so that we might declare the wonderful deeds of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And therefore, Paul says, we give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be sharing in the inheritance of the saints in light. For God took us out of the dominion of darkness and placed us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. We're redeemed. We have the forgiveness of our sins. So you are far, far superior to what is going to be rejoiced in the world tonight. Heaven rejoices in you. That's beautiful. Thirdly, the teams tonight that you'll see in the Super Bowl make their plays by a playbook. And it's really great to see it, isn't it? It's kind of fun to see how they've strategized and they're going to work out their plays that they've practiced so hard all year long in order to defeat the other team, in order to carry a pigskin full of air through grass and through men 100 yards into an end zone. It's actually very entertaining to watch how they've put it all together and how masterful they are in these things. They play by a book. And if that book works well, they win. Or at least so far, as best as they can do. But how about us? Far superior. Because you know what? We're gathered as heaven's champions today. And we also have a book. It's called God's Own Holy Word, as some people have affectionately called it. Basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E. But let's to consider what the church is according to God's perspective this morning. 1 Timothy 3, verses 14, and on, Paul says, I hope to come to you soon, Timothy, but I'm writing these instructions to you so that if I am delayed, you may know how and ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and bulwark of the truth. Would you say that with me? Say pillar and bulwark of the truth. Pillar and bulwark of the truth. There is nowhere else on earth such where you will find a team like you, God's people who have the truth. There's nowhere else on earth that has the book. Only the church has the playbook. And what are we doing? We're moving not over grass and through men, but we are moving through this world, through sin and troubles and the devil's works and through death itself into the end zone up above to God's own holy throne. But we have the book. We have the plays. We know the way to go. And the way is Jesus Christ, keeping his word. It's not easy to get to heaven, actually. A lot of people think, oh, it's so easy. All I got to do is die. Not so. Jesus says, the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. How are we going to navigate through the field of devils and troubles and catastrophes and sin and lies and death into heaven above, but that we have a book and a playbook that God has given us to go by? And think about what the Bible says here. All scripture is inspired by God. So whose book is this? God's playbook. And Psalm 119 says, thy commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. Makes me smarter than all of the adversaries that would come against me. And the result of this book, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Tonight, if you win the game, you're not beating death. But we, when God looks at you, he is so overjoyed because he says, this is my team and you're going to conquer something that everybody has to face one day. That's death. You're going to conquer it through my son, Jesus Christ. By believing in him, Jesus says, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. And that word is most especially the gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you believe that, amen? You are God's team, and you're victors, and you are going to enter the end zone through the playbook, through the gospel, through Jesus Christ who died for you and rose again. What a mighty team I'm looking at today. You are fantastic in God's eyes as the church. Also, if you look at the game tonight, sorry to have to say this, but maybe you're rooting for one of your teams and you've been doing it all year. But even after all the season's wins, after all the team's struggles, after all their efforts and striving, even after their strength is spent and they've given it their all and done their best, your team still might lose. You know why? Because football is a very organic game. It's subject to so many variables. You can have an injury. You can have a fumble where you didn't expect it, an interception. Maybe you just don't have the momentum and spirit that night. The other team has the momentum. There's the variable of the crowds who are cheering. They affect the game. The wind, the weather, whether it's raining or sunshine, cold or warm, it all affects. And your team, after all the good that it's done, still might lose and be losers. But guess what? You are so far superior. When you are in the church and you are on Christ's team, and the quarterback himself, Jesus Christ, is with you and on your team, you cannot possibly lose. It's impossible for you to lose so long as you stay on the team, in the church. That is by grace, but you hold fast to Jesus Christ. You cannot possibly lose. You are unbeatable. You are unstoppable. You are invincible. We are unstoppable, God says. Why again? Because who's on our team? God. How are you going to lose with God, Jesus himself, on your team? If you think about it, in the Old Testament, where would you meet God? Exodus 29, God said to Moses, at the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak to you there, there I will meet with the people of Israel. I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God. So in the Old Testament days, God located himself. Now, he's, of course, everywhere at the same time because he's God, but he also particularly locates himself in one particular place, namely, in those days, in the tabernacle, in the temple, in the midst of his people. So God has a place. Later, it was in the temple in Jerusalem, and the glory of the Lord filled that particular location. Where is God located today? Wherever two or three yeah, I got more than two or three here, who are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them, Jesus says. So what I'm looking at right now is so superior to what we're looking at tonight, because here I see God is in the midst of his people, and he's on the team, not only as the owner and manager, but he's the star quarterback, and he's never lost. He always wins because he's God. And, you know, it's even better than that. He says to the disciples, I'm going away, but don't be sad. It's to your advantage that I go away into heaven, because I'm going to send my spirit, and I'm going to live inside each one of you. So imagine the devil trying to fight you as God's team. He not only has to fight Jesus, who's the best perfect quarterback and never loses, but now all of a sudden, every player on the team has Jesus Christ living inside of him. So he's the fullback and the running back, and I don't even know all that these things of the earthly game, but I know you in the heavenly game. Christ is in each one of you to give you the victory. So catch this. You can have a bold, brash, brave, optimistic view in everything you ever face in life because of who's on your team and Jesus as the quarterback. Think about that. Optimistic. Just take that word in for a second. You can have an optimistic view no matter what you face in life, whether it be health or troubles or job or relationships. Optimistic. Say the word optimistic.
Optimistic.
You can expect to have victory and expect to win because, and this is the big part, of who's on your team. That's Jesus Christ. If he's with you, who can be against you? Romans 8 says. He who didn't spare his own son but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? God's going to give you all things. And Paul says, I'm sure that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. I am absolutely confident. I'm absolutely sure. I have no doubt in my mind that the God who started a good work in you is going to finish his work at the day of his coming. That is optimism. That is victory. That is certainty. You're going to win. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14, thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumph. So what I'm looking at today, you are so far superior. We are so far superior to anything else that there is on earth. This is the church. And who are the people tonight going to beat? They're fighting against whom? Flesh and bones. They're going to beat just other men like themselves on their field of battle. But who are you beating? Well, Ephesians 6 says, we are not contending against flesh and blood. In other words, we're not fighting against people as Christians. We're not against people. But we're fighting against the principalities. Those are princes. Against the powers. Against the world rulers of this present darkness. Against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. These are dark and foul princes in Satan's kingdom. That's who you're fighting against. But what do we learn? Jesus says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. In other words, you squash them like a bug under our feet, Lord. We have power. James says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. It's a rout, in other words. Romans 16, Paul says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan to dust under your feet. And on this rock, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it. That old movie, The Blues Brothers, remember they said, we're on a mission from God, we can't be stopped. They were saying it jokingly, but we say that in truth. We are on a mission from God, we cannot be stopped. And don't you know that we are to judge angels, says Paul? Imagine that. In the world to come, at the end, we are going to be judges over the dark angels and pass judgment with Christ against them. And again, it's all through Jesus. For if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Because Jesus died, conquered death for us to give us the gift of life. And the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So how far superior are you to anything that the world has to offer tonight? And tonight, the players are going to come out onto the field fresh, raring to go. They're going to be juiced. You're going to see them jumping up and down. But they're going to end this game weary and exhausted. Now, they're great athletes, so they may still run pretty well towards the end, but they're going to be tired. And even if they're not so tired at the end of the game, which they will be, they're still going to tire out over the next few years. And I got a shout out to Cheryl. Where are you? I'm sorry. I know this is a very sad thing for me to say to you. But yes, even your beloved Tom Brady will one day retire if he's not already retired. I know that's a nightmare. But every champion of the flesh will fail. It's not the same for the people I'm looking at here, for you. Because we don't lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, yet our inner natures are being renewed every day. Inside, the Spirit is making you stronger, fresher, more courageous, more energetic by His Word. For even youths shall faint, and young men shall fall exhausted, says Isaiah. But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. You're superior to all that we see tonight. And finally, they're moving an earthly pigskin, as I said, full of air, 100 yards over grass through men to obtain a perishable trophy. Let me put it this way. A trophy that atrophies. It tarnishes. It rusts. Eventually, it's placed behind glass somewhere. And it's in a back room, and nobody's ever going to think about it ever again because its glory fades away. But Paul says of you, this team, the church of whom you are, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to obtain a perishable wreath, but we to obtain an imperishable wreath, something that never fades in glory, which God will give to you. Peter says we're born and called unto the team of Christ to an inheritance, which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, that's kept in heaven for you. You don't see it yet, but it's kept there to be revealed to you on the last day, and you are guarded for that day by God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Where having fought the fight and finished the race and kept the faith, God's going to award to you, to us, a crown of righteousness that will never, ever fade in glory. All these people tonight are going to celebrate with great fanfare and fun. But they're going to go home and it's going to fade quickly. But friends, listen carefully. We're going home to endless celebrations. To the Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, says the author of Hebrews. To the heavenly Jerusalem. Innumerable angels and festal gathering. To the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. To God who is over all. And to Jesus Christ upon his throne. To a place where it has been prepared for you by the Lord. You are so far superior. They enter tonight into a stadium of cheers by the mass of humanity, of some saints and also many sinners. But you are entering onto the field of your lives this day, surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Heavenly ones, saints who've gone before us, and angels, a stadium of heavenly choruses. Therefore, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who has placed us onto his team by grace, he himself being also the quarterback. And of the church, it is written, and I'll conclude with this, from Numbers chapter 23, this is our word, and this is the motto, and this is our team. It says, the Lord their God is with them, and the shout of a king is among them. Amen.